Okay. So that was, what is it? What makes it up? Where does it come from? Now I'm going to talk about one of my favorite subjects. I know it's a very odd favorite subject, and one of the most important things that we as breeders need to understand. And I find this people are completely confused about colostrum. So colostrum is that first milk. And the most important thing, but not the only important thing, the most important thing about colostrum is it is high in antibodies. These antibodies are critical for newborn health and survival. Yes, your puppies can survive without your puppy, typically, hopefully it will not be more than one, without colostrum, but without intervention and tremendous hygiene, the survival rate of puppies that don't get colostrum is down to about 10%. So it is significantly more difficult for puppies that don't get that first milk. Colostrum has far more immune factors than milk. So the most important one that colostrum has is that immunoglobulin G, which is usually said IgG. And IgG is the type of antibody that protects against bacterial and viral infections. And we obviously are worried about parvo and distemper. That's what we want to make sure our puppies get. But she's also protecting them from the bacteria that's in your yard or, the other virus that happens to be in your neighborhood. We don't have any comprehension of the pathogens our dogs are coming in contact when they roll in, dead deer or they eat goose poop or, I mean, just think of all the crazy things dogs do. They're constantly coming in contact with these pathogens. And it is IgG that is the most protected, the most important. And yet, our puppies are born with almost no IgG because of the way dog placentas are. They don't allow this large molecule to get through. And so, unlike other species where it is passed through the placenta, doesn't happen in dogs. So puppies are typically born with less than 0.3 grams per liter, while in adulthood, they're going to have somewhere between 8 and 25 grams. So they really don't have much of anything at birth. Colostrum, on the other hand, has a ton of IgG in it. So it has 20 to 30 grams per liter compared to milk. So this is when milk comes in a couple of days, that's down to 1 to 5. So we can see that milk does not provide this specific kind of antibody the way colostrum does. The interesting thing in those first 4 hours of birth is that IgG can cross the puppy's intestinal barrier. And this is why you will hear me emphasize, and vets will emphasize it, and old breeders will emphasize those first 4 hours getting those puppies to nurse or getting some colostrum in them is critical because that's the only time that they can really easily absorb those big molecules through their intestines. And it has to cross through their intestines into their bloodstream. And now they have IgG to help protect them. There's a dramatic drop off in how many, what percent of these big molecules can cross through the intestinal wall after 4 hours. And it basically ends between 12 and 16 hours after birth. So we used to think it was 48 hours. And there was some great research done in France that shows that there's very, very little after 12 to 16 hours. There is zero after 24 hours. There's just nothing getting through. So really focus on those first 4 hours. And remember, it's that puppy's first 4 hours. It isn't the litter's first 4 hours. So if you have a puppy born at 4 in the afternoon, he needs to get colostrum by 8 that night. But if you have a puppy that's, his last sibling was born at 4 in the morning, then he has until 8 in the morning. That's why bitches continue to produce colostrum for 2 to 3 days. And it causes a lot of panic in breeders because colostrum doesn't look like much. It's thinner and it's yellower and it, just doesn't look like milk. It's not produced in as much volume as milk, But it's really important for puppies, to all of the puppies, to have that opportunity to get colostrum. And we really rarely have to worry about it, because we don't have to worry about the couple of days that puppies are nursing colostrum, because colostrum has other really important things in it. It has a bunch of other antibacterial factors that trigger white blood cell activation and help the puppy develop an immune response. It has actual white blood cells that cross over through the intestine and begin creating immunity in the puppy. It has these factors that keep pathogens from being able to attach to the intestinal wall, and it speeds intestinal barrier closure. Now, I was just saying, you know, we have to rush to get colostrum in, so we don't want to close the intestinal barrier. But what we really want to do is, remember, when the intestines are open in those first few hours, they're allowing really big molecules through, which could be viruses, which could be bacteria. And so what the colostrum does is, as soon as the puppy has an adequate amount of colostrum, that intestinal barrier begins to close so that those other less friendly molecules can make their way through. Now, I always hear that people are so worried because the milk is so thin or the colostrum is so thin that their puppies aren't getting enough energy. Let's completely overturn that falsehood. Couple things. Colostrum is a free meal, unlike milk. And we're going to talk a little bit about milk letdown and what puppies have to do to have the milk let down. Colostrum doesn't have to let down. The puppies need to do very little. They expend very little energy to get colostrum. It's basically there for the taking. It's a free lunch. And so that's super beneficial to baby puppies. In addition, colostrum has 1,300 to 1,800 calories. Canine milk is only a little bit higher at the low end. It's the same at the high end. So they're not getting less energy just because the milk is thinner. On the other hand, milk replacers only range from 500 to 1,500 kilocalories. And so that's problematic when we are supplementing rather than letting our puppies get colostrum. The other thing we want to remember is that puppies are born with glycogen stored in their liver. And that glycogen lasts, glycogen is energy. It's a type of energy in puppies. And that lasts for about 12 hours. And so it's not like puppies need immediate energy. What they need is immediate immunity, immediate antibodies. That's what they need. And then their bodies, unless they're a real runt, and we'll talk about how we distinguish runts in a little bit, but they have a fair amount of energy to start with. It is, if your puppies are appearing weak, it is better to supplement them with energy than milk replacers. And so a really easy one is the corn syrup, unflavored Pedialyte, and then here is the amount that you give every 4 hours initially. You don't want to do that forever, but certainly for those first 18 to 24 hours, this is appropriate while they're nursing, while they're getting colostrum. How much colostrum do pups need? You know, it's really kind of interesting. I'll show you the science behind it, but you and I can't really measure it. But as long as a pup nurses normally in the first 4 hours, and it doesn't have to be for that full 4 hours, it could be an hour out of the four, how much colostrum they get doesn't matter, as long as they get colostrum. So the estimates are that puppies from colostrum need about 12 milliliters of colostrum for every 100 grams for energy, but they only need 1.3 milliliters for immune requirements. So we can get them a little bit of colostrum and then give them the Caro Syrup Pedialyte mix for energy, and they will be typically fine. And they'll get their immune reaction or their immune support. So the thing I want to say all the time on the list is, we have got to quit messing with our bitch's colostrum. How do we do that? We start supplementing puppies way too early. We are panicking that puppies are either staying the same weight or only gaining a little bit in the first 24 or 48 hours. Let that natural process happen. And if you're really worried that a puppy's lethargic, then give them energy, not formula. What are the exceptions? Number one exception that you can supplement after 12 hours, puppies had all the chance to get colostrum it needs, are puppies that are born 25% below their average birth weight. So you may have an average birth weight for your breed. But if you don't, this is a pretty good chart to use. So here is our low birth weight, and it is based on the expected adult weight of the puppy by breed or breed combination. So if the puppy is expected to be less than 33 pounds, a low birth weight puppy is one that's born under 5 ounces. For a dog that's going to mature at 35 to 55 pounds, it's going to be under 8 ounces. And then for my breed, say golden retrievers, 55 pounds, puppies that are under 11.6 ounces are low birth weight. These puppies we can supplement after 12 hours. These are, I hate to call them runts, but they are exceptionally small puppies. They can survive, they can be great, but we may have to give them a little bit more support because they don't have the energy stores that their larger siblings do. And then always, always, always puppies that lose 4% of their birth weight in the first up to 48 hours. So if they lose in the first 24 hours, we're gonna panic. If they lose it over the first 48 hours, we are gonna panic because that loss is really significant and increases the chance of death quite a bit. And we know that puppies in those first, that first week are at risk. So if you have, let's say you have a 14 ounce golden retriever, 4% is 0.5 ounces. So it's not much. And if you have a puppy that loses 0.5 ounces in the first 24 or 48 ounces, hours, you can start supplementing because that puppy is at risk. Okay. Always the question, when does milk come in? What's normal? So we're moving from colostrum to milk. We're moving from that antibody-rich, thinner, yellower, clearer discharge to this thicker, whiter, what we think of more as milk. It comes in anywhere from before birth. And if it happens before birth, you are typically going to have colostrum in the milk. So the first milk will actually have all of those antibodies in it. And then basically the colostrum component will fade away all the way up to 2 to 3 days after whelping. It's perfectly normal to go 3 days before colostrum is transitioned over to milk. These are all normal. We have to be extremely cautious at reacting at 3 days because if we panic and start giving galactagogues or trying to do something to increase milk production, when in reality, she's gonna have perfectly normal milk production on day three, now you're gonna overstimulate milk production and risk mastitis. So wait those 2 to 3 days before you start thinking, oh my gosh, I have to do something. How do you know when milk is in? You will begin to see what's known as milk letdown. And suddenly the free lunch for the puppies is gone. There is no more free lunch. They are now working their little tails off, and the tails are a really good sign of when they are trying to get milk to let down. I'm sorry for those of you who don't have tails on your puppies, because tails are really excellent in helping us figure this out. And so I'll show you a video of letdown in just a second. And that's going to be your transition point. Prior to that, the puppies are just nursing and getting colostrum. And suddenly you're beginning to see puppies putting so much more effort into getting milk out. Again, I'm going to jump up and down. Milk is a demand supply process. The more you supplement, the more you mess with it, especially in these early days, the more problems you're going to cause. Okay, so milk release or letdown. For those of you who are mothers, you probably know a lot more about this than I do, but I'm not a mother, so I just know it from dogs and I actually know it from cattle. So letdown is a reflex. It's actually a separate part of the milk production process. And in dogs, it requires vigorous massage. It requires nipple stimulation. It often requires pulling on the nipple. So it is a very active process. Interestingly enough, the more vigorous the massage of a nipple, the more milk comes out of that nipple. So what does that mean? That means the strong get stronger and the weak get weaker. Because the strongest puppies can do more vigorous massage and they are going to draw more milk into that specific gland. And there will be less milk for those weaker puppies. And the weaker puppies that are doing less vigorous massage will end up with less milk. So if you think about it, you know, you see those little itty bitty guys and they're just, it looks like they're working on those nipples, but they're not strong enough to get a really full milk letdown in that teat. And that's why puppies can work so hard and not gain. So what do we want to do? We want to use these larger puppies. And yes, we are absolutely using them. And we're going to put the big honking puppies on a nipple and we're going to let them do all the letdown work and pull and push and nose. And as soon as you see milk, the milk lets down. It doesn't last long in dogs. It's not a long period. You're going to pull that big pup on. You're going to stick a little pup on there. You can put the big guy somewhere else or you can just move him away if he's fat and doesn't need any more milk. And that will save your smaller puppies all of the energy expenditure that it requires to get milk let down. And they can then get more out of the process. The other thing we want to know is that letdown takes longer if there are fewer puppies. So in a smaller litter, or say you have a larger litter, but only four puppies are awake, then it's going to take longer for letdown to occur. They're going to have to put more energy into it. So the reason that the theory behind that is that it, assuming an average size litter, nature doesn't want letdown to occur until all of the puppies are on the nipples. And so the longer letdown takes, the more likely everybody's going to wake up and everybody's going to make it over to mom and everybody's going to get on a nipple. And now letdown will occur so that all of the puppies get it rather than just a few. However, that is problematic for singletons. But we should expect at least 1 to 3 minutes of work on the puppy's parts before letdown occurs. I actually am going to show you a video. I won't show you the whole thing. It was 4.5 minutes of, you know, an average size litter trying to get letdown to take place. But they work pretty hard. With small litters, particularly singletons, you may have to do nipple stimulation to assist as if there were multiple puppies there. And you can just roll the nipples between your fingers. You can pull on them just like puppies do. And that can assist so that your singleton, now, so your singleton doesn't have to expend all the energy, but you know, often with singletons, we want them to expend the energy because they're so fat. But it's possible for singletons that letdown doesn't even occur. It just never occurs. There's not enough stimulation of the nipples for letdown to happen. And now you have puppies that are working and working and working, but they're never getting that full load of milk. So this is what nipple stimulation looks like. This is a litter that is working towards milk letdown. How can you tell? They are kneading the breasts. They are pulling on the breasts. They do that head pull back and forth. You can see it on this puppy right here really clearly. They are sucking while they do it. They are massaging. There's just a ton of massage going on. This was the 4.5 minutes. It's a good sized litter. It's not like there's just one or two puppies here, and they are all, and look at how little this guy is trying to assist. Now milk letdown has just occurred. So what is the breeder pointing out? The rigidity of their tails. Typically, their tails will almost look like there's electricity going through them. They are no longer kneading. If they move their feet, it's just to reposition them. They typically throw their heads back. See how that head is back and the neck is arched? I always think of that milk just squirting right into the back of their throat so that they can just get a really good mouthful. But you'll see it doesn't last long in dogs. And they are going to have to go back to kneading and pulling again pretty shortly. So they were starting into it. So for this litter, that took 4.5 minutes. And how long was that letdown? 20 seconds? That's about it. It goes really fast. Now, this is a singleton, and he is doing vigorous massage on his mother. And she's unimpressed. Some of you may have seen that. Let me show you again. So this is vigorous massage. This is a strong puppy. If he can get milk let down, he's going to get an awful lot of milk if his mother can stand him. But because he's a singleton, he may not be able to. So you may have to assist there.